I want to introduce my little message this morning with a little poem. And the title of it is Forgiven. Not far from New York, in a cemetery lone, close guarding its grave, stands a simple headstone. And all the inscription in one word alone, forgiven. No sculptor's fine art hath embellished its form, but constantly there through the calm and the storm, it beareth this word from a poor fallen worm, forgiven. It shows not the date of the silent one's birth, reveals not his frailties, nor lies of his worth, but speaks out the tale from his few feet of earth, forgiven. The death is unmentioned, the name is untold. Beneath lies the body, corrupted and cold. Above rests his spirit, at home in the fold, forgiven. And when from the heavens the Lord shall descend, this stranger shall rise and to glory ascend, well known and befriended, to sing without end, forgiven. I think that's beautiful. And I think that's a great word. Forgiven. And there's such a sweetness about forgiveness, either in giving or receiving. That's what we're working on now for a few Sundays, is this topic of forgiveness. And there's such a sweetness and a preciousness and a blessing in forgiveness, whether you're giving it or whether you're receiving it. And I feel that we need to take to heart more this thought. I'm pretty much appalled at the nonchalant attitude that some people have about things that linger with them and between them and other people. It seems to me that they ought to be more concerned about those things. Get all the loose connections welded together. And everything taken care of. And sometimes we settle so lightly. I'm reminded of a sister. Her aunt was holding something against her for which she was not guilty, but her aunt thought she was guilty, thought she did it. She didn't do it, but she couldn't convince her aunt that she didn't do it. So finally she made another approach. She went over to her aunt and apologized for this thing as though she did do it, and asked her forgiveness, and her aunt wouldn't give her any answer. She's never said anything. Well, you might say she did her part. She went to her, she asked her forgiveness, but that didn't satisfy that woman. She went back again and her aunt wouldn't speak to her. So she started praying, earnestly seeking God to cause her aunt to accept her and forgive her. Went back over there, no acceptance yet, and she went back home, started fasting and praying. And asking the Lord to undertake and clear her from that and cause her aunt to say that I forgive you. It was important to her. She went back over there, no results yet. So she came to the church and asked the church to agree with her in prayer that this thing could be resolved and that her aunt would accept her apologies for something that she didn't do and forgive her. No results yet. So she asked that everybody that would agree with her in the church in fasting and prayer. So several did. And she went back over there and her aunt was broken up that time. She said, "Why, child, I freely forgive you." And took her in her arms. She was satisfied then. You might say, "I don't owe her that much. I went and asked her forgiveness and she wouldn't forgive me, so that's all I'm supposed to do." But she wanted forgiveness. It was important to her. There's something sweet about forgiveness, just knowing you're forgiven. Something sweet about it to God, too. He said there's more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth and over 99 just persons that need no repentance. I think God delights in forgiveness, too. That He can forgive people. And whether we're giving it or whether we're receiving it, I think that it would stand us all well in hand to be more sincere about what we're doing. And to seek God to help us out to dissolve and resolve any conditions that exist or any loose connections that exist among any of us. Now Jesus was teaching us how to pray in the 6th chapter of Matthew in verse 14. And He said, among other things, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That was prayer. He was teaching us to pray that way. Prayer comes out of people's hearts. True prayer does. So He wants it in your heart that way. Right down in your heart. "God, forgive me just like I forgive others." How many of us are willing to pray that prayer and to have it answered that way? We all know the ground we stand on. We all know how things are with us. How many of us are willing to pray, "God, forgive me just like I have forgiven this person that trespassed against me"? To the same extent, in the same way. Think about Judgment Day. Think about the time when you need God most in your life, facing a real crisis in your life, and you need God. And you go to Him to seek Him for help. But you've got a little sneaking idea in the back of your mind about that person that you haven't forgiven like you should. On Judgment Day, when you stand before the judge of all the earth, the one that knows you in and out and through and up and down, He knows everything about you. And you stand before Him, how much boldness will you have knowing that He has forgiven you just like you have forgiven other people? How much boldness will you have in the day of judgment? that's important. Just think this over. Now, God is going to take His standard of feelings and dealings toward us from our standing of feelings and dealings toward one another. Jesus spelled this out in black and white. After He had finished this prayer, came down to the close of it, and said, Amen. The prayer was over. He seemed to have realized at that particular point, right there in the middle of it, was going to touch us just a little deeper than anything else He'd said, so He went back and picked that up. And He said, For if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will my heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. But if ye forgive men their trespasses, so also will my heavenly Father forgive you. Certainly we should recognize there's no room here for any nonchalantness in regard to this. And we shouldn't pass this over as a light matter. And we shouldn't settle cheap on this. We should go all out to obtain grace to forgive and to obtain forgiveness. It's just that important. Our salvation hinges on it. In Anthony, Kansas, where I lived for a few years, there was a meeting going on there one time before I lived there. And the preacher was preaching on the terms of salvation. And when he hit this point of forgiveness, there was a man back in the congregation there. He rose to his feet and he raised his hand. He says, I'll never do it. I'll never do it. He said, I'll die and go to hell before I'll ever forgive the man that shot and killed my brother. And he turned and walked out of the house and slammed the door. Well, the saints got under a burden for that man and they began to pray for him. And God got a hold of him. God got to dealing with him and dealt with him pretty strongly. Before that meeting was over, he came in right in the middle of the service one night and he was just stumbling and crying down the aisle and fell at the altar and says, I'll do it. I'll forgive him. And he soon had the victory. A lot of folks hanging up right here. There are many folks going to lose their souls and go to an eternal hell feeling like they were a pretty good person and I didn't do this and I didn't do that, but they just don't forgive. And as I mentioned last Sunday, some folks say they just can't forgive. Well, my advice to people like that is you better learn to forgive. Because your salvation hinges on it. You can do everything else, but if you don't forgive, you'll be lost anyway. If you can't humble your heart and seek God for grace to do it. Now we have a text in the 11th chapter of Mark, in verses 24 and 25, it says, What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now that's a big, broad promise, folks. God made it. That makes it true. We want to count it true. But there's a condition on it. There's some strings attached to it. He says, but when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. Forgive. When you stand praying. The question has often been asked. It's been asked of me numbers of times and others too. What about if they don't ask forgiveness? Am I to forgive them if they don't ask forgiveness? I believe this scripture will answer that question. He says, when ye stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. And it occurs to me that if I'm out there in my place of prayer and my meditation before God and my place of secret devotion with Him, the fellow that's trespassed against me isn't going to be there to ask my forgiveness. I'm out there with the Lord. And the fellow that's trespassed against me won't be there. I'm just out there by myself. But He says, when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. Now let us realize that no bitterness at all is ever going to get into heaven. If you and I hold on to any bitterness or any unforgiveness in our hearts, we'll miss it. As sure as we're living today, we'll miss it. And no bitterness ever going to get into heaven. But also let us realize that our salvation, individually, is not made contingent upon what anyone else does or what they don't do. Maybe that fellow will never repent of that. Maybe he'll just go on and be lost and go to hell over that thing he did to me. Well, if I'm sitting back here holding a grudge, and feeling all hurt, and carrying an offense, till roots of bitterness are springing up in my heart, and waiting for him to come and ask my forgiveness, and he's not going to do it, and maybe never will, I'll be lost too. No need of me being lost over what someone else does. God has given me the right and privilege to come before Him and humble my heart and seek and obtain grace to help me out of my problems in life and to rise above them. Brother Carver gave us a thought like this once. He said that we should forgive people of their wrongdoings to us to such an extent that if there were such a case, he said, now there isn't, it isn't going to be that way, but if there were, that God would take every individual and say, now here's so-and-so. Is there anything against him? Anybody got anything against him now? That you could just wave your hand and say, everything's all right. As far as I'm concerned, it can go on in. Now, it might be well to explain at this point where numbers of people hang up. They feel like that if they forgive someone, they've got to have confidence in them. And that their forgiveness will produce confidence. And they feel like I can't have any confidence in that person the way they do, and they never acknowledge it. And I can't have confidence. Well, now, forgiveness doesn't clear them. It just clears you. It frees you from any bitterness, but it doesn't clear them. And they'll not be clear till they acknowledge their wrongdoing and seek forgiveness for it. Then that would naturally restore confidence. But your forgiveness just clears you, not them. After all, people say, well, you just want to cover these things up and just let them go, and people go right on like that. Well, my answer is, God hasn't made me the watchdog of the pearly gates. And people are going to have to satisfy God before they get in there. Let us realize heaven belongs to God, and people are going to have to satisfy God before they get in there. And it's none of my business. God will deal with them and deal with them right, and that's none of my business. But it's my business to clear myself. Keep myself clear, and my forgiveness granted to those individuals will clear me and keep me free from roots of bitterness and malice and ill will and hard feelings. Folks, these don't have any right to carry hard feelings. We are to love everybody. And when we forgive, we can leave those people that we forgive in the hands of God. Let Him deal with them according to His own will and wisdom, but we'll go on happy and rejoicing, free in our souls. Whether they ever make things right, whether they ever clear themselves, even if they go on and are lost in an eternal hell over that and never apologize for it or straighten it up or make any restitution, we can go on happy and rejoicing, free and clear in our own soul. My salvation is an individual matter between me and God and isn't contingent on what anyone else does or what anyone else doesn't do. If they make things right or if they don't, my salvation doesn't depend on that. It just depends on how I behave and what the condition of my own soul and what is my own attitude. You and I can reach a point and be so free from all of these kind of things and the burdens of them till we can actually rejoice in the good things that come our enemies' way. And in their blessings, we can rejoice in that. Sometimes people feel that God blesses the bad folks more than He does the good ones. Well, I don't know about that. I'm not entering into that, but I am saying that you and I, by the grace of God, can obtain a victory in our own souls till we'll rejoice to see God bless those that have gouged us and have hurt us and offended us along the way. In the third chapter of Colossians, in verse 12, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Folks, let's get dressed up. Get our souls dressed up. Put on these divine virtues and graces in our lives. Add them to our lives and let them increase and abound yet more and more in our lives. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, the margin says a complaint. If you have a complaint, great or small, against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. As I mentioned last Sunday, it seems to me that if we have been forgiven, forgiven of God, know the sweetness of forgiveness, that we certainly would just be out looking for folks to forgive. We'd be wanting to forgive. We've experienced the sweetness of forgiveness. And even as Christ forgave you, how did Christ forgive you? Did he say, well, I'll forgive you, but don't do it anymore? Or did he say, well, I'll forgive you, but you better walk pretty straight, or I'll just keep reminding you of all this? Not the way he forgave me. Yeah. He didn't forgive me that way. He didn't threaten me. He just forgave me when I asked him to forgive me. I remember when Brother Leslie Busby, I was here one meeting when he was here over in the old chapel. He brought a message one day there from the text, remember the rock from whence you were hewn and the pit from whence you were digged. He brought a real anointed message. It stayed with me. I couldn't repeat the message, but the effects of it stayed with me and influenced me pretty much. And along in the message, he said, if you're a little bit hard to deal with now, and hard to satisfy, people just can't satisfy you very good, he said, you're forgetting something along in there. Just think back there where you come from. And what God dug you out of. The rock that he hewed you out of. If you feel kind of critical toward somebody and you're just finding fault with them for this and for that, says you're just forgetting something there. Just look back where you come from. And he says when it's hard for you to forgive, you seem like you can't forgive, said, look out, as you're forgetting something there. Said, just remember where you come from, what God brought you out of. And I've come to realize that when I consider my frailties, my shortcomings, the problems that God has had with me, and the long suffering and patience and forbearance that he's had to show toward me, in bringing me as far as I am. I'm made to remember that's my obligation toward my fellows that I have to deal with. And it makes it easier for me to exercise some patience and long-suffering and forbearance with them in their frailties and in the things that they have been overcome in that caused them to commit offense against me. Just remember the rock from whence I was digged and the pit from whence I was brought. It'll help you, folks. It's pride that makes it difficult for people to forgive. And it's just forgetting that I ever needed any forgiveness. When I can't forgive other folks, I'm just forgetting that I ever needed any. But I did, and I obtained it. And in return for it, the Word of God says, if I have a complaint against any, great or small, whatever it is, forgive them just like I've been forgiven. Amen.